Well, the thing that I was really interested in, as you, I mean, you have you seen my article that I wrote?
Yeah.
For the, okay, and the thing I was really interested in was the diversity.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, like that, the Eagle Heights community was a very diverse one, and,
mm-hmm.
And that was really expressed in the gardens,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, people could come from their own cultures and then, you know, have this community place for people to meet, but also, like, you know, express their culture through,
mm-hmm.
through what they learned as growers,
yeah.
from their home countries or from wherever they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really cool to see, you know, everyone's garden was different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really interested in that part of it. We had our own plot that we gardened, and yeah, I really loved the beauty of the place and
mm-hmm.
just being able to go out there. And
yeah.
I think that was true for everybody. You know, you could just step out. And it was nice to live right next door to that garden.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a really special place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that part was really wonderful about
yeah.
it too. Like just going out there and working in the garden and
mm-hmm.
there'd be people out there to talk to and you could bring the kids and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so all of that was, you know, that was all part of what we really enjoyed about it.
Mm-hmm. What years were you there in gardening? When did you move to Eagle Heights? When did you find the garden?
I started grad school, well, we lived in Middleton in 97, let's see, yeah, I moved to Middleton, my wife and I moved to Middleton in the summer of 97,
mm-hmm.
And then that following fall, let me think, no, it was May, it was that following May,
mm-hmm.
we moved into, so that would have been, wait, let me think about this for a second.
Yeah, not a problem.
I'm trying to think, because Karin, my wife, was pregnant with our daughter, but our daughter was born in 99. So I think I'm a year off. I think it was 98 we moved to Eagle Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. No, I'm sorry, 98 we moved to Middleton.
98.
And then in May of 99, we moved to Eagle Heights because
mm-hmm.
We had just had our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She was a month old, and we moved, and it was like...
What a great time to move.
Yeah, and I did all the moving myself because my wife had just delivered, and
uh-huh.
she was busy with the baby. So
mm-hmm.
it was like this huge job of moving us by
mm-hmm.
myself. So, I remember that. So we moved in May of 99, and
mm-hmm.
we lived there for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And did you have a garden in 99?
I think we gardened, yeah. I think we started that year.
Mm-hmm.
Garden, yeah.
How did you find out about it? Just word of mouth? Walking to it? What?
Yeah, I think it was word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there were probably signs around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we met David Schiffert soon after moving there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big, you know, he was a big activist
yes.
around.
Yep.
So, I think it was word of mouth and probably through hearing or, you know, I think David Schiffert was really responsible for creating a lot of exposure around the gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at that time, because he was living in Eagle Heights then, and they were really active, him and his wife,
mm-hmm.
in the gardens and promoting it.
Yeah.
So, I have a feeling, I don't remember specifics, but I have a strong feeling that, you know, it was really through his effort that we found out about the garden, because he was really active at that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With not just the garden, but also just the whole politics around organics and
mm-hmm.
food politics, you know, he was really active in that.
Yeah.
So I think it was, you know, I would really put a lot of the reason why we got involved was a lot of through his efforts of promoting the gardens and promoting the politics around food at that time. At Eagle Heights, he had a really strong presence that way.
And so you were gardening when there was the increase in tensions between the university and the garden formation, really, or what the gardens should or could be. What do you remember about that? Were you on the garden committee? Do you remember?
I wasn't on the garden committee. Okay. I do remember something about that because I can't remember if I wrote something about it or if I was planning to. Gosh, I wonder if I actually even wrote an article. I'll have to check in what's the student paper called? The Badger? The Herald? Badger Herald? I'm trying to remember. It was a long time ago, so I'm trying to think. I think I was thinking of writing something about it. And what I remember also is, so there was some tension around using that land for something else. Was that right?
Yeah.
And I remember actually after my article came out about Eagle Heights Gardens, the one that had to do with the diversity there, that those issues were still going on, and a lot of people complained that there had been this article written that was glorifying the gardens, behind the scenes they were threatening to take the gardens away. So there was like this. I remember thinking of the irony of that because I was sort of like my article was being represented as like this university voice, but actually, it was just something I was interested in in doing. But I don't remember a lot of specifics around that. I wasn't really involved with it. I do remember, like, just in the background hearing about it, and I think at some point, I think I'd even researched possibly writing an article about the tensions, but I'm not sure if I actually did. It's ringing a bell, but I'm not sure that I actually wrote anything. I think that I did go so far as to interview a couple people about it, though. That's where I need to look for my notes to see if I actually, what I did.
And I'll be interested to see. So were you interested in gardening before you got to Eagle Heights? Had you gardened before? And then were you into the organic thing, whatever? Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that, or what?
It's more of the people around me were really interested in organics and gardening, like really intensely. Like my best friend at the time that we moved to Eagle Heights, my best friend actually owned and ran a small CSA organic farm in Viroqua, Wisconsin. And so I was really, I was hearing a lot about that. About food politics and what it is to run a farm, and just like they had a drop off in Madison actually, so they'd come once a week and we'd have dinner together. He'd bring his family, and we lived first in Middleton and then in Madison, so in Eagle Heights. So we were meeting. So I was hearing a lot about it, and I was interested, but I wasn't really that involved. Then the other thing is, the year before we moved to Eagle Heights, my wife and I had been in India, and we had taken. My wife is really interested in this stuff. Actually, she teaches something called permaculture now. And so when we were in India, we took our first permaculture class together. And right before we moved to Middleton, we had some notions of doing permaculture. So we actually moved on to her. So we've been a year in India, and that was 97, 98. And in May of 98, we moved to South Dakota, where her dad had a farm. And we planted a huge garden, thinking we would try to just like, explore that lifestyle kind of. For me, I'm Indian, and so living in South Dakota was way more culture shock than going example, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of hard for me to think about actually settling in rural South Dakota, mm-hmm. but we did spend four months on his farm, and we grew a big garden and tried out some things. We had a chicken tractor and stuff.
Oh,
and
we
tried out some things. So mm-hmm. we were kind of interested. My wife was very, very interested in growing her interest in all these things. So mm-hmm. so kind of peripherally, I was, you know, pretty much steeped in it through the people that were around me.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't, it's not necessarily, my interests are more in writing
mm-hmm.
than gardening or farming or working with land, but I'm definitely interested in it.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
so we had a lot of interest in it, and that continued. The Eagle Heights garden gave us this, you know, otherwise living at Eagle Heights, we wouldn't have had access to any a plot of land mm-hmm. to actually experiment and try some things out.
Yeah.
So, you know, like we did mulching with, you know, like the permaculturists talk about doing as little, you want to put your work up front
mm-hmm.
so that you're not duplicating work later or putting in added work later. So we did the system where you lay down vegetable scraps onto your, so you have your plot, you lay down the vegetable scraps
mm-hmm.
and then you cover it all with cardboard.
Oh.
And then you cover that with, straw.
Mm.
And then when we planted, we'd poke holes into the cardboard and plant through the cardboard. And the soil actually would get really soft because all the worms and stuff come up to eat the kitchen scraps
mm-hmm.
and they aerate the soil a lot.
Oh.
So then the cardboard and the straw keeps the weeds down, so you
mm-hmm.
weed a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you poke through the cardboard and you plant your plants in that way.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So you know, that's kind of like a permaculture idea that we mm-hmm. picked up. And so we tried stuff like that when we were at Eagle Heights.
Mm-hmm.
That was like our first effort to try stuff like that. So.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. I've never heard of that technique. So,
that's
really interesting.
So, you know, we were trying stuff like that out. Now I live in a place called Eco Village.
Mm.
At Ithaca, and it's a kind of a co-housing community.
Mm.
I don't know if you are familiar with that.
Yeah.
But basically, it's a big neighborhood. We all own our house, but there's a common house,
mm.
and we share. We live on 176 acres that we share with 200 other people, basically 60 mm. other households. And so, like, you know, a conventional development design would be that a developer would purchase 175 acres and then they'd put 100 houses on an acre of land each,
mm-hmm.
right? So
mm-hmm.
you'd subdivide the whole area and you'd have roads going through.
Uh-huh.
Well, this model instead, what it does is all the houses are on a very small footprint, so 60 houses are on about 10 acres, and the rest of the land is left open to grow wild. I think most of the land is in conservation easement,
mm-hmm.
and so it's, you know, it's kind of ecologically, it's more like leaving a lot more of the land open to nature, so there
mm-hmm.
are coyotes. I mean, coyotes are probably not that unusual as they're in. I've seen coyotes in Middleton, but you know, I mean, there's a lot more possibility for wildlife around us
mm-hmm.
because we've left the land open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you use the land around Eagle, the gardens, the picnic point, and the natural areas? Did you go out there?
Natural areas. Yeah,
yeah,
we did a lot. We'd walk a lot in
mm-hmm.
there. And I did write an article about, I should try to find some of these articles I wrote, because I wrote a really interesting article actually about the natural areas and some of the,
mm.
And some of the, Yeah. It was really interesting, actually. I'll have to find that for you, because actually some of the professors used it as a text in their classes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it highlighted some really interesting issues around management of natural area.
I would love to see it.
I'll look for that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I was working on way back then that might be of interest to you. So
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I just need to dig through some things to find it.
Mm-hmm. I think it will be. I think that's part of that wood clearing that you're talking about. One of the long-time preserve volunteers. It's now called the Lakeshore Nature Preserve. I don't know the natural areas are. And she was saying that part of that clearing actually instigated the change in management of that area, which actually led to questioning the presence of the gardens there. And so it's all very connected. I'd love to see what you were writing about at that
point. Yeah, okay. I'll definitely look through. Mm-hmm. I'll even, actually, after we get off the phone, I'll do a search on the Badger, I think it's called the
Badger Herald.
Daily Herald or something. There were two newspapers.
There's a Daily Cardinal and the Badger Herald, I think.
That's right, the Daily Cardinal. That's the one I wrote for.
Okay.
Okay, I will look. I'll look for some of those articles and see what I can come up with.
That'd be great.
And I'll email them to you, and mm-hmm. then I'll also look for that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think. The gardens. It's great. I mean, the gardens really. You know, the whole purpose of garden. One of the big purposes of gardening is to. You know, like Michael Pollan talks a lot about, to, you know, that we're so separated from land and nature and how food grows. And mm-hmm. those gardens were really great for that, you know, getting back in touch with that. Not just in terms of the physical, getting your hands dirty and growing and having that physical sort of mm-hmm. more soulful connection, but it created, there was a lot of discussion around the politics of food, and I think... Again, I come back to Dave Shifford, because he was really bringing that out. He was really mm-hmm. strong. He was a really strong presence and force at that time in Eagle Heights around these issues, and he was really making it being vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was creating a lot of discussion for people like us, especially who were interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
He was bringing a lot of ideas out that we were all talking about. So the gardens were a great focal point for that, you mm-hmm. know, to get people conscious and debating and discussing,
mm-hmm.
you know, really being, you know, to get intellectual, but to not to get overly intellectual, but, you know, it's really democracy working, you know, where people talk about ideas
mm-hmm.
openly and then you sort of form your own ideas about politics and issues. And mm-hmm. that was really happening. And I really... put a lot of that on Dave Shifford
mm-hmm.
Because he was really active in that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
did you know at that time did you have the same plot for 3 years, and then did you meet a lot of the people that were around you? It seems like you did meet a lot of your gardening neighbors. Is that true, or did you go out and work solitarily in your garden?
Yeah. We did have the same plot for both years, and it was more casual mm-hmm. and low-key in that way, you know what I mean? Like, you'd be out there, and you would see people, mm-hmm. and like on a Saturday afternoon, for example, you'd see a lot of people. But you'd go out, I remember going out there on weekdays, and there'd be, you know, one person off in the distance or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it that really varied. Mm-hmm. I do recall now and then going out there and, you know, you'd see people you know and you'd go and chat with them.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But it wasn't like this intense social event for me to go out to the garden, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Yes. I don't think gardening is really, it doesn't lend itself to intense social interactions, but more of a camaraderie in common place, you know.
It was nice family time when we could get out there. The thing is, mm-hmm. we had this tiny baby at the time, so, you know, the first year she was, I remember going out there and then we'd be concerned about keeping her in the shade and stuff mm-hmm. like that, you know, so it'd be hard to stay out there very long. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, and keeping mosquitoes off her and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'd have this elaborate, like, you know, the baby carriage or whatever, and then you'd have to put some sort of, like, a blanket over the top of that, but then be concerned that it was getting, I think we had some mesh that we used for a while so it wouldn't get too hot.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But our first daughter was very fussy. Mm-hmm. So I remember it was a real challenge for us all to be out there because she wouldn't stay very well by herself.
Mm. Yeah.
And then the following year, once she was walking, you know, then she's just a handful.
Yep.
And not interested really in gardening, but, uh-huh. you know, running around. And
mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think there were definitely challenges to that.
Mm-hmm.
I do recall some of that. But we would get out there and it was a nice time for us. And sometimes it would be, you know, it's just the challenges of being a young parent.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it would be a nice time for my wife and I if she was sleeping or something and we could actually be out there and talk a little bit, catch
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really busy time for me because I was working 30 hours a week and I was in grad school. So
it was
a very difficult, busy time on that level.
Mm-hmm. Was your wife in grad school too?
No, she wasn't.
Yeah.
She was home with the child, so.
If you were both, I can't even imagine how you would get everything done.
Yeah, so we were both, like, stretched, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She was stretched too because she was full-time on with this baby, and that was really hard because I'd be gone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, by the time I get home, she'd be pretty well disgusted, you know, with just being home all day with the child, so. It definitely had its challenges, but I do, mm-hmm. you know, I would say that the garden was a bright spot
mm-hmm.
and a good source of nourishment, you know, just spiritually nourishing to be out there, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember much about how the gardens were run by the committee? What rules you had to follow, if any of those were hard to follow? What kind of bureaucracy, if there was any, with the gardens, or how gardeners viewed that?
I feel like it was really pretty smoothly run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in the sense, like I didn't have a lot of sense of the bureaucracy because it was really well run.
Yeah.
You know, the sign-up process was really easy, and you know, there were rules around keeping it organic, but we were already into that, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think there were a couple of days that were like work days, you know, where everyone would come out and pitch in to, you know, I forget exactly what we were doing, but. You know, I do recall there were a couple of days where there'd be lots of people out there, and we would
mm-hmm.
we'd be clearing things out and
mm-hmm.
you know, just like sprucing things up and doing
mm-hmm.
the basic work of keeping the garden going.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, it was really pretty smoothly run. I didn't have a lot of sense of the bureaucracy or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think there was.
I think Karin was on the garden committee, but I was not.
Mm.
So, but I asked her this morning, she said she doesn't really remember a whole lot. She said, because I told her I was going to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
We talked briefly on the way
mm-hmm.
in, and I was just saying that I had mentioned to you that you could talk to her. And she said, well, I don't really have a lot of memories around it.
Oh, okay.
Because it was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
It may be that if you asked her some questions and jogged her memory, because
mm-hmm.
I do believe she was on the garden committee.
Mm. Okay, maybe that would be a good thing to do. I mean, I have spoken to David Schiffert though too, so he had lots to say about that,
sure.
what that garden was.
I'm sure he did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a he really strongly believed in that piece of that being a piece of land, you know, what that could mean to people,
yeah,
which was nice.
That's right. Is he still in Madison, or did they move somewhere?
No, I think he's in New Hampshire right now. Is that right?
New Hampshire, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, okay.
He has told me all about the big garden that he has right now. I think he's teaching.
Okay.
High school, maybe? I don't know.
High school?
I think it's high school.
Mm-hmm. 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 Okay.
Yeah, but... yeah, it's been fun to hear everybody's gardening stories and everybody's different memories or what they do remember. And it's, I mean, just like you, that everybody says, "Ah, oh, I don't, such a long time ago, I don't remember anything." And then they talk for a really long time.
And then, yeah, right. And it comes back. Mm-hmm. You start hearing, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. What else? I think that we've actually covered a lot of what I wanted to hear about what you've done. What I really like to do is hear what you find in your files, because those sound like
I think that'd be really useful for you. Mm-hmm. I will, now that we've talked, especially, it's more on my mind.
Okay, yeah.
Because before we were just exchanging emails, and emails are I have small mental space.
Oh, me too. I know, it's so hard to keep them in your mind sometimes. It's I forgot about that email yet again.
Right. But. So I will definitely take a look this weekend for those files.
Okay, that would be great.
It may be the kind of thing that I would mail it all to you, and you could photocopy it and mail it back to me or something.
That would
be. It's going to be it's going to be like, 2 or 3 or 4 inches of papers kind of thing, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm. And
there may even be. You know, I probably even have tapes of people I recorded.
Mm.
The thing is, I recently realized, after we spoke, I had a tape of this couple that I interviewed about the garden.
Mm-hmm.
It was maybe an hour of interviews, and I recorded over part of it.
Oh.
Because it wasn't important to me at this point.
Yeah.
But I may have transcripts of some of that stuff. I think I may have transcribed some of it. So I've got to go look, is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, that would be anything that you find or think of now that we've talked would be very, very helpful. And I'd be happy to pay you for the mailing things to me and then back, however, so you don't have to.
I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that I saved it. I mean, I have saved, like, every story I've done, I save my files.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that I would always think, why am I saving this? But, then stuff like this comes up, and I'm like, oh, I'm glad that I saved it. But
yeah.
So I'm hoping that that's true for this, and I would think that it would be. But and like I said, my wife seems to think that all that stuff is down in the basement. So I'm going to go look this weekend, and I will definitely look this weekend.
Okay. Thank you
so
much.
I'll make a note for myself.
Thank you for taking the time to do that. I really appreciate it.
Great. I'll look for that article right now, and I'll email it to you.
Okay. Thank you, Krishna. This is really fun.
Sure.
Bye.
Great. Thanks, Emma. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.